There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your host, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a special guest with us, a good friend of ours, Mr. Brett Snodgrass. Hi, Brett. How are you doing?
Hey, Sean. Hey, Joni. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate being in the Wolf's Den.
Yes, thanks
a little scared.
No, you don't have to be scared at all. So this is a judgment-free zone. Casual and just have fun and learn from each other, and hopefully the listeners will get value.
Yes, you
know,
so, for sure.
Which I know they will with you, because I think you got a lot to offer.
So. Absolutely. I'm excited to, you know, give your little intro here. Brett is a successful real estate entrepreneur who has built a high-functioning business from the ground up. Brett has hit the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. He has accomplished all the goals he set for himself, but as he reached the top of the mountain, Brett realized that all of those accomplishments don't truly fulfill him. Brett's on a journey searching for a deeper significance and fulfillment in business and in life. He knows the struggles of being an entrepreneur, but also the satisfactions. Brett is now on a journey with other entrepreneurs to seek out what is truly meaningful so they can live their purpose. He is not looking for merely for success, but for significance. He hopes to build a community of entrepreneurs and businessmen who truly desire the same. So I am really excited to have our listeners get to know you a little more, Brett. So if you wouldn't mind kind of sharing your background.
Yeah, no, thanks, Joni. Appreciate it. So again, I'm Brett Snodgrass. I live in Indiana, always born and raised in Indiana. And just to kind of how I got brought up was my dad was a high school basketball coach. So if you've ever seen the movie Hoosiers, if you live in Indiana, I'm sure you have seen the movie
yes.
Hoosiers. But that was pretty much my family. So my dad was a coach, I was a player, and I was always playing basketball. I was shooting in the driveway, seeing if I can make 10 or 20 shots in a row. I had little poster boards out and I was putting little stickers on them to see how many shots I made or how many drills I did. And I was always just trying to get better at the game of basketball. So that was just kind of like my life. And it also taught me how to achieve, how to work with a team, how to be driven. And I was always driving myself to get a little bit better. So fast forward, I didn't go to the NBA. So my basketball career ended after college. I did get my college paid for, by the way.
Nice.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to a small school called Huntington University in Indiana. This is up by Fort Wayne, Indiana, which that's where I live now. And it was great. I could have went bigger. I could have went D1, but I wanted to play, honestly. And I started all 4 years, went to the national tournament, and had a great, I think I'm top 10 leading or points there. So it was a great career in basketball. But obviously that ended, right? And so I got out of college and I just decided, hey, what am I going to do now? I had an elementary education degree and I tried teaching for a little while because my parents were both teachers, but I realized that is just not for me. And they don't make very much money, right? I think the teacher makes between $30,000 and $50,000, $60,000 a year. And I wanted more opportunity than that. So just kind of how I got into real estate, I was about 26, 27 years old. And I just had my daughter. So I wasn't married, but I had a daughter and I didn't have any money. I was dead broke. And I realized, man, I really got to do something different. I've tried some other businesses here and there and nothing really worked out. And then I got a hold of a couple of books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, The Millionaire Next Door. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of went from there. Started working with other investors and bought our first house in 2007. It was in Ohio And I remember I called dad up, said, "Dad, I found this house. Do you want to buy this house with me? I don't really know what we're doing, but let's do it." And we bought it and sold it. We made like $6,000 on our very first house. That was our first deal. And that's kind of how it got started. And the light bulb went off. And I said, you know what? Could we do this with two houses or 10 or 100 or 1,000? And I think after 14 years now, we've done probably about 3,000 deals.
Wow.
So what does the business look like today? Like your business?
Yeah. So I had done a lot of stuff throughout the years in real estate. So I started off buying and selling, wholesaling is kind of what we started off with. I did some fixing and flipping for a few years, realized I was not good at that. That was too hard and too much work managing contractors. Mm-hmm. I had tried some rentals, some seller financing, and I realized that I was really good at chasing deals, really good at negotiating with sellers. And that's where I went back to. So in 2014, I developed a company called Simple Wholesaling because I just wanted a simple business. I didn't want all the flashy objects and doing a bunch of different things. And I just wanted a very simple model. And that's where we came up with Simple Wholesaling. So now that business has been since 7 years. We have a team here in Indianapolis. We have six local people that work with me other than myself. And then we also have six virtual assistants that work out of the Philippines. So six and six. And we're growing steadily and responsibly. I think last year we had 264 deals. Uh-huh. And that's what we've been doing.
That's huge.
Sounds like you have a pretty amazing team too. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Now, tell me if I'm wrong. You are not there in Indy, right? So you, it runs without your day-to-day involvement. Is that correct? Or?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, kind of just backstory on that. So I mentioned I had a daughter back in 2007 and mm-hmm. I wasn't married. And, so we've been co-parenting my daughter since she was born. She just turned 14 years old.
Wow.
And we met when we were in Fort Wayne, Indiana, but we were all living down in Indianapolis, which is about 2 hours away. Well, her mom got married and he has a daughter that lives in Fort Wayne. And it just started being a struggle for them getting to his daughter's softball games and cheerleading practice. Mm-hmm. And they never got to see her. So they came to me one day and they said, hey, we want to move to Fort Wayne. And that's what we're going to do. So I had to make a decision because I was very close to my 14-year-old and I had her half the time. We've been doing 50% custody for forever. And I said, okay, here's what I could do. I could stay in Indy, try to work this out, run the business, or I could move to Fort Wayne and try to run it from Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
Well, I decided to make that decision. So 2.5 years ago, my whole family ventured up to Fort Wayne. And it's been great. And honestly, that was just a blessing in disguise. We love it here. It's just a great community. And it helped me achieve in the business really what I set out, what my goal was. My goal was never to build this huge company with all these employees and hundreds of houses and millions of dollars. Like, I like that stuff. But my goal, honestly, was freedom. So it really kind of helped me get out of the business, focus on the business. And then last year, Brian Snyder, who was the COO of our team, mm-hmm. I promoted him to CEO, and now he runs the show. He runs everything. And I pretty much am the owner, but I'm not in the day-to-day at all.
Wow. That's incredible. Talk about like huge commitment and sacrifice, leaving your business, your friends, you know, your roots to be close to that. Wow, that's an amazing story.
I think that's awesome. And I think, did she see that at that age? Did she see the sacrifice you made? Or not?
Yeah, she did. I mean, I remember we went to this daddy-daughter camp and we were just getting ready to move, right? Her mom, and us, and there was this part of this daddy-daughter camp that she just broke down and started crying and very, very grateful for what we were about to do for her. Obviously, you know, she's a teenager and it's not always, you know, roses every single mm-hmm. day, but I think that we're still very, very close. And when I think about my life, a lot of times I do think about regrets. I'm mm-hmm. like, hey, like when I make these decisions, what am I going to regret? And that was the big thing when I had to make that certain decision. I'm like, you know, if I stay in Indy, I could still run the business and I could still be successful with all that. And maybe I'll see my daughter every other weekend and we'll probably, you know, grow distant from each other a little bit. Will I regret that? And I didn't know if I would, but if I didn't move and I did grow distant and I only could see my daughter every other weekend, I would have regretted it. So that was the choice.
Sweet. And how was that dynamic with your wife? Did was she on board for that, or she supported, or?
Yeah, obviously she's probably she's an angel.
Yeah. It was tough. It was really hard for her because we had roots and we had friends and but she was supportive, right? And I think that's just an amazing person when you have to make those decisions, and she supported it. And her family all lives in Michigan, so it was closer to her family. So now she can see more of her family. So it was tough, but because she doesn't like change. But once we got over the hump, she's very, very supportive.
That's sweet. That's great.
I mean, that's awesome that you did that. And I think it...
You told that story, and
I always go back to that. I've told other people about it, you know, and I think it's, I've never heard somebody make that kind of sacrifice. And I think I think that relationship with your daughter will pay. Yeah. And to have no regrets like that, I think in the end of the day, you know, like when you take money out of it and all that, I think, you know, families and I think your spiritual life and all that's most important, but I think that's awesome. So,
and they always say, you know, things happen for a reason, and putting you in that place at that right time, like, was that like eye opening? Okay. Like what's my vision for my life?
Yeah. I mean, I think I reflect and think about that all the time. And I think the problem with business owners and entrepreneurs like us is we're so close to the business and we're so close to the team that we can't ever just get out of the way because we're always just in it. Right. Mm-hmm. There was an example. I took a missions trip a few years ago to Guatemala. And that was a point too. Like, I really just want to be present and experience the trip. So I told my team, I said, hey, I'm not going to do anything. Whatever you guys do, you make all the decisions, and that's just what we're going to do. So that happened. And then I came home and I realized that went really well. Whatever you did, keep doing that. Well, you know, an example the same way is when I moved to Fort Wayne, it forced me just to get out, right? I wasn't in the minutia every single day. I really had to like think about what's my life looking like, what I really want, how can you do this virtually? How can you really rely on the team to have them make decisions? So I think to all the entrepreneurs and business owners out there, if you're struggling with that and you're struggling with the pressure and the stress and just being in the day to day, and you're like, man, I just wish I could get out of the day to day, I would say put yourself in that situation where it forces you out. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a trip for a couple of weeks. I know you guys took a trip for a month, I think, last year. Do something that forces you to have to do it, because if you don't force yourself, you're just gonna be right back in it and it's just not gonna work.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so true. Because I mean, even in our Albuquerque office, like we're not there day to day, and that office runs on its own, right? And then we're here in Houston, and we're like, why are, you know, it seems like there's like fires to put out all the time. It's probably because of us.
Right. We're involved. I mean, even just preparing that month that we took off, like in preparation for that, it forced us to make the moves or the
changes that we needed to
the processes, the training that we needed to do to get to that point. And, I don't know why people don't do it earlier. I guess you're not forced to, but I think if you force yourself, it makes a huge difference. Right. So, but I'm just curious for myself. Tell me like how you built out to run, and that, you know, that is no easy task. The amount of deals you guys are wholesaling, that is a very strong, big business. So how did you create that, and what is it? Who makes the day-to-day decisions? And why I'm throwing a ton of questions at you at one time, why the COO to the CEO promotion? What was the mindset behind all that? I'm just curious,
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Just to answer kind of how we built it is, the simple answer is just one step at a time, one piece at a time. We read the book Traction. We implemented EOS into our business. Had a business coach, and I would just meet with him and just start bouncing questions. And first it was always about hiring, like, hey, how do I hire somebody? How do I train them? Right. And that was, what do I pay them? Like, those are some of the questions that I would ask. And then just kind of went there to, you know, you started to repeat that process, bringing other people in, putting them in the right seats, figuring out how to hire people, figuring out how to fire people, and then figuring out the process of it. So I'm a visionary by heart. I kind of go by the seat of my pants. I don't like creating a lot of process and a lot of strategy, but I really love process and strategy. Like if I have a process and strategy, I love doing it. You know, but I'm not one, I don't create it very well. So that's kind of where Brian came in. And so Brian Snyder, he's our CEO now. And I actually hired him kind of on the marketing team, and he just kind of worked his way up through the ranks. So he was in the marketing, and then he was our dispositions manager, which he sold all of our properties and built relationships with investors. And then I really wanted to get out. I mean, we're part of the same mastermind group, the Collective Genius. And that was always my question. I think three quarters in a row, I would always say, I want a number two. I want a COO, someone who can just run operations. And I kind of had a false sense of who that was, right? Because people said, well, do you have anybody on your team that's a good leader? And I just continued to start to think about Brian. Like I thought it had to be somebody from the corporate world who ran big teams, who had to pay a bunch of hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that just wasn't the case for us. So Brian became COO. And then literally a year and a half later, I was just burnt out. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but this business just kind of wears on you. And there's different stages of burnout. Just to be real about it, I think it had affected my health. It had definitely affected my family life, right? I mean, I wasn't able to be present all the time with my kids or my wife. And it just affected a lot of things of myself. So back March in 2020, COVID hits. And I remember the exact moment. I was in my bathroom. I was taking a shower, and I was just thinking, man, like this could really like take us out. Like who knew what was going to happen with all this stuff. And I felt almost a relief come over me where like, it was almost a desire, not a desire, but it was like, if that happens, if we go under, like I would be okay, because I was fine. I mean, I had some rentals, I had these seller financing notes, and I could, and if I didn't say take us out, but if it took us down to a very simple few person team, that would be fine. And then I realized I was not the visionary of the company anymore. So I said, I talked to Brian, I said, hey, here's what I'm wanting to do. I want to step out. I want to sit in the owner's box. Do you want to take over? I gave him, a package kind of in the leadership team and said, here's what I'm thinking. Do you guys want to take this? And kind of went from there. And I was so scared. Like, it's just like when you did that very first deal, I remember that, like that was a really scary, very first deal. This was the exact same process. I'm like, I have no idea how this is going to go. And, you know, but I said, I'm at least going to give it 6 months and just see how it goes. And we had a record year in 2020, 14 years in this business. We had the best year I've ever had.
Wow.
And I didn't work that much.
Well, better quality of life. Yeah.
I'm sure there was some things you took away from that, lessons or things you learned, anything you would share that you, through that process, especially the latter part of the process, that maybe you do differently, or that something you did really well and it worked well, you know?
Yeah. Number one, I think that people don't make that decision for certain reasons. I think our ego gets in the way, right? I mean, we started this company, it's our baby, we've raised it up, and no one else can do this as good as we can. It's just how it is. And that's what we think, but that's a lie.
Right.
Honestly, I think every single person in my company that doing their roles are better than I am at any of them. So I think you got to get your ego out of the way if you want freedom. And that's one thing I really had to wrestle with. I was not going to be the face of the company anymore. People eventually weren't even going to know who I was. Right. And you have to get over that. So that's one thing I was willing to sacrifice in order to have freedom. So that was a struggle. Just differently, I think I wish I would have did it earlier. And I think, you know, I was maybe the bottleneck of the company. And now I think that, you know, even when I told Brian, when I had that conversation at heart to heart, hey, I'm stepping out. And he even told me this, he said he had a relief over him by me telling him that. And I asked him on our podcast, I said, why was that? And he said, because when you were the visionary, things moved a lot slower. Because someone would ask me and I'd say, well, let me go, I'm going to have to talk to Brett. I meet with him on Mondays and then now he doesn't have to do that. Mm. So things go so much faster. So those are some of the things that I would have done it earlier and just get out of the way. And I think if you're a business owner out there, you just got to commit and have the courage to do it and just see what happens. And I think that's what we have to do. I mean, that's how you started this business, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You guys said, hey, let's just try it. And you know, see what happens. You got to do the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. It's always worked out better than we thought.
Yes.
Or like, I would say majority of the time we're constantly saying like, why didn't we do that a lot sooner? Like, you know, and.
Mm-hmm. Or why was I so scared about that? Like we live and we worry about these things that it's never as bad as what you think.
Right.
And I think we just stop worrying about it.
Once you can, and I agree with it, once you can let your ego, you know, go and say, hey, like, you know, it's not about Brett or Sean and Joni, you know, it's about the rest of the team and the organization. I mean, they are truly the ones that grow our organization.
Yeah.
So once you can, you know, figure that out. I mean, what advice would you give to, you know, maybe an entrepreneur who's, you know, struggling with those same things of not letting go, you know, and wanting to do everything themselves, but you know, and super stressed out.
Mm-hmm. It just starts slow. I would say just start writing down like things that you really don't want to be doing in the day-to-day business. And even if it's the things that you think you can never let go, like no one else can do this because maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's dealing with your money. I don't know. And he's like, I can never do that because I can never trust anybody to do that because they're not me and they'll steal from me. I don't know. So I would just start writing down everything that you don't like doing. And I still like doing some of the things that just that you don't like doing and that you could let go and just kind of start off small. Maybe you can start delegating some of that things out to your existing team and just kind of go from there. And that's just kind of what I started doing. And it's very, very beneficial. Like this all happened organically. I mean, Brian, he was taking over things. It wasn't like I just came in and Brian wasn't this guy off the street that I said, hey, you're going to take over my whole company. It just happened organically and say, okay, now you take this. Okay, this quarter. Okay, now you take this. And it just kind of happened from there. I just say, take it slow.
That's awesome.
I have a personal question. So with all that, because it almost scares me a little bit. With all that free time, like what did you fill it with, and what are you doing today with all that? Especially since you're not there, it's not like you can just go into the office and pop in and, you know, act busy or something.
What are you guys doing?
Yeah. I mean, talk about your vision for your life, like today. You know, what is your vision? What does that look like?
And how did you restructure that? So, like, once you did get that time, like, did you know right away what you were going to get into, or did you have to? Mm-hmm. How did that develop?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. It definitely developed over time. I mean, the first few months, it was just an eerie feeling. You're waking up and you don't really know what to do. And you don't realize how much your identity is just wrapped up into it. Because people say, well, my identity's not wrapped up in it. I don't care, you know, but you realize when you're not doing it that your identity is really wrapped up in it. And I think the biggest thing is we're just afraid we're irrelevant. Mm. And, you know, we don't want to live this meaningless life. Mm-hmm. We want to have purpose. We want to have meaning to our life. And that gives us meaning when we can build something and scale something and bring opportunity to the team and people. And there's a lot of purpose in that.
Right.
So what am I doing now and how did I fill my free time? The first few months, it was a little eerie, but honestly, I still do. I enjoy doing this like podcasts. Mm-hmm. I enjoy creating content and teaching. My parents were teachers, so I just enjoy doing that. So now I just launched a YouTube channel. It's very early in the stage. And it's funny, like I'm a very big rookie on YouTube. I don't really know that much. But I got a video guy and he edits the videos, and we're still, you guys were on our podcast. So we're still doing the podcast, and I'm going to be launching just some teaching videos about people that want freedom, people that want, you know, it's mostly about success, freedom, and purpose. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so we're launching that. So I'm doing dabbling into that. Spend a lot of time with my family and traveling, and did a men's trip that I'm doing. And I'm very interested in missions. So I've gotten, kind of affiliated with a Guatemala mission organization, mm-hmm. called Transforming Futures. So I'm interested in doing some missions trips, taking maybe some entrepreneurs, maybe you guys want
to
go.
Oh, absolutely. He'll be the first to go. Yeah.
Trips. Just, I think the biggest thing for me is, I don't want to fill my time with things that are not me, right? That, and I'm a purpose guy. I like to impact people. Mm. And I just want to do those things. That's really all I really want to do. So whether it's impacting my family, impacting others, doing missions, doing the YouTube and trying to impact people that way. That's just what I'm all about. And I don't want to get bogged down by anything else. And I'm still doing small business things, but every time I look at a business, probably like you guys, is like, is this going to be simple? How much time is it going to take me?
And then double it, because it's always, yeah, it's always way more.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. What is the, just so our listeners can check them out. Tell us your, I think you have a couple podcasts, correct? Is it? There's one.
Yeah.
And then your YouTube channel.
If you want to go to the YouTube channel, I just try to make it simple again. And I wanted a lot of flexibility with it. So I just named our YouTube channel the Brett Snodgrass Channel. Just because I want flexibility. I don't want to always be in this box, because I like doing silly things too. And so it's the Brett Snodgrass Channel on YouTube. The podcast is Brett Snodgrass Podcast. And you guys run that.
Yeah.
And we also have another podcast called The Indie Investor. And it's a podcast only for like Indianapolis real estate investors. And we talk all about Indianapolis investing.
Cool.
Oh, that's really cool.
And do you still have the one with your daughter?
Yes.
The YouTube channel?
Is that so? I'm going to have her on the Brett Snodgrass podcast. Yeah, I did do a podcast with my daughter. And we did that for about a year. It's called The Daddy-Daughter Show. And you definitely can check that out. But we stopped that. You know, I don't know if she was embarrassed, but, you know, doing something with her dad when she's in her middle school. But
I thought that was awesome, though.
Special. Yeah, it was good.
Unique.
It was good. So, well, cool. And then give us some habits that you can share with our listeners that maybe you do on a daily basis, or something that's maybe helped you personally or professionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just, you know, right now, and I know probably the typical ones are eat healthy and work out and meditate or pray or read a book. I don't know. I'm going to do something probably different. Like I'm really fascinated by simplifying my life. Mm. And I'm a simple person, but I feel like as entrepreneurs and just as people in general, we're always just gaining more stuff and more and more. And it doesn't have to be stuff. It could just be just stuff in your life, right? So one habit that I've really tried to grab onto is like, hey, like I need to just start saying no. Mm-hmm. I'm a people pleaser by trade. So I try to say no more so I can say yes to the good things. And so I would just recommend, I'm studying blogs. I think there's a blog I'm reading called, I think it's more is less. And mm-hmm. minimalism is kind of big. Like I'm mm-hmm. not going to, you know, own 100 things or anything like that. But right now I'm always purging. I'm just like, I just want to get rid of all the junk that is meaningless to my life so I can clear the way for like things that like really matter to me. And you just be surprised. I mean, once you start getting rid of stuff and simplifying your decisions, like you guys probably know, I mean, how many decisions do you have to make like in a day? A lot of decisions, whether it's picking out your outfit, what are you going to eat for breakfast or lunch or dinner? You know, what are you going to do today in business and with your family, mm-hmm. and what game are you going to play or book are you going to read? Like, I just start thinking about all that stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to make the decisions I want to put energy into are the ones that like really matter to me. So I'm trying to just weed out some of the things that I don't waste time on. So like, I don't know. So I'm really big into simplifying my life. maybe minimalism, something like that. So
I think that's great. We were just talking about that today, just, you know, being able to simplify our lives. I remember, like, when Sean and I were, you know, young and in buying houses, we would go, you know, knock on pre-foreclosure doors and then go watch a movie, you know, like I have.
Yeah. We had some of our, and we take this for granted. Maybe, like, we need to think about some of the, I mean, now we have kids and so it's a little bit more complicated, but some of our best, Joni and I's personal best moments were when it was just her and I in the business. We worked out of our house, a bedroom in our house, and we had some of the best times. And it was so, now I didn't make the money that I make today, but it was
simple.
We had fun, you know, and it was a good period of our lives. And, there's days that I envy.
We'd go take a nap in the middle of the day. Yeah. Like,
I cannot do that right now. No. Yeah. But
that's crazy. And but I think that, and this is some of the process that I've been through, is like you just start to really find out things that make you come alive, like things that you really enjoy. And I think that we get bogged down and we watch all this other stuff, read books or watch all these other YouTube videos. And you're like, man, I need to do that. I need to have that Lamborghini and got to have that vacation house in Hawaii because that's what other people are doing. And I got to take these fancy trips and I got to make all this money. And, plus I got to be an amazing dad, an amazing husband. And you're like, oh my gosh. Like, so for me, I'm just like, you know, what do I really want? Like what makes me come alive? Like, what do I, and it's none of that stuff. And I have to just block it out. And I was like, no, I just want a simple life. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to go on missions trips and just experience that. I want to take my kids there. I want to, do the simple camping trips. We bought an RV last year, which isn't totally simplifying my life, but for us, it was like, but for us, it was like, hey, instead of doing the fancy vacations, let's just go camping.
Travel around. And,
makes
sense.
Just stuff like that. So yeah. It's fun.
I think that a lot of people struggle with finding their purpose and like what they like to do. Right. I mean, I'm
in that.
Yeah.
I would raise my hand. I'm still there. I'm still trying to, do you feel you found that answered that question, or do you still
struggle with
or do you still doing things to find what truly makes you happy?
I mean, I definitely have things that I know truly make me happy, that I truly enjoy, right? I mean, doing things like this, I just enjoy having these fascinating conversations, and that's something I really, really enjoy. Mm-hmm. I don't find it work. But yeah, I think I even struggle. Have I arrived? I think it's always a journey. Mm-hmm. But you, Sean, I mean, you even said, man, some of our best times were this. And mm-hmm. and I start to think about that with my wife when we were dating and we were, you know, kind of, and I know we can't go back to that period, but like I started to write down, like, what were some of the things that we used to do together? Like an example with me and my wife, when we were dating, we used to read books together. Mm. Literally, we would read a chapter and then we would talk about it. And we don't do that anymore. That's, and I'm cool. Like, why don't we do that? Like, that was a lot of fun. Yeah. I loved it. And so like that, just, you know, start thinking about like, what were times that you did feel alive? Like, what were some of the things that you were doing? And, you know, just start doing more of that, I think, is the thing. Maybe you don't arrive like, here is Sean's purpose. I am.
I'm looking for, like, God to come through the clouds. Yeah, just shine a light right on it.
We're going to go move to the mountains. That's going to be our...
Yeah,
but you do know, like, this is what you really enjoy, and this is what makes you feel really good,
right,
and come alive. And then you know things that you don't enjoy doing. But I think you got to really, like, reflect on it and weed out all this stuff. I think that we're so constantly addicted to comparing ourselves to other people and looking what other people are doing. Mm-hmm. And that's not even us at all. Like, like, I don't even care. Mm-hmm. So it's a journey, but, hopefully that answers your question.
It's good.
You've added so much value. And I mean, thank you for, I think a lot of us, even including myself, you know, we struggle with these things. And so
we've been talking about, Joni and I, especially, you know, we brought on the CEO this year, and he's not all there taking over everything yet, cause it's going to take time. But the, you know, we've been like, we've had to find ourselves a little bit.
Like, we start questioning, like, what am I going to be doing? You know?
And then we've even like had some discussions, like, on, I think, you know, Joni wants to probably go an area that, cause it used to be, it's always Sean and Joni, you know, and we're very powerful together, but she wants to do some things that I have zero desire to do, you know? And so we're trying to navigate that you know, and because it brings her joy, and I don't want to take that away from her. But I have zero interest. But then when she says that you have zero interest in it, like how can you, and like it's almost like I'm not approving of like what she
like. What do you mean? Yeah.
You know,
That's what makes a good. I was talking to a mentoring type of couple, and they do some different things. I mean, he has some ministry things that he does over here, and she has this other thing that she likes to do over here, and that's okay. And they said, you know, it's okay to do separate things, but like they got each other's backs.
Right.
They support each other and encourage each other. And I don't do the best at that all the time. My wife brought up something that she was interested in doing the other day, and I probably said the wrong thing. I'm like, that sounds silly. I don't, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what I did the other
day.
That's what I said. I was like, that sounds awful. Yeah.
But we learn.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for that. Any current books that you're reading that maybe you want to recommend to any of our listeners?
Or blogs, or yeah. I guess that was one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I recommend two books. I actually have them here. These aren't my books, but so this book really changed my life, and I read this about 2 years ago, and this is a book by Richard E. Simmons. It's not Richard Simmons, the curly hair fitness guy. it's called The True Measure of a Man, and this really talks a lot about what we talked about, and it's about entrepreneurs and business owners and how they measure themselves as men. And it's just fascinating, right? Because we let the world dictate how we should measure ourselves, and it's not, it's a lie, honestly. Yeah. So that's a great book, The True Measure of a Man. And then I read this book last year. It's called Halftime. It's by Bob Buford. And this is a book where I got the moving from success to significance. So it's kind of like middle-aged men, maybe. you know, I just turned 40. last year, so it's a great book about
you still look very young.
Yeah,
by the way,
success to significance. So,
and does it have anything to do with like sports related or no?
It does. I mean, definitely has some of that. Just kind of halftime and how are you going to adjust? This might be a great book, Sean, for you.
Yeah,
and Joni, like you know, because you're probably in that. Like, hey, you've been very very successful. Now, how are you going to move to significance? And it takes you through some different steps.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Yeah. I'll take you up on that and read it and give you my feedback. Cause I think that, I think we're at that stage. Joni turns, I won't say, she turns 40 in a couple of weeks.
And I turned
40 in April. So we're
you
both.
You guys look great. Yeah, are you guys going to have a big bash?
We're headed to,
Zihuatanejo, Mexico.
Yeah. So we went to Collective Genius and fell in love with that place. So,
awesome.
We rented a house and we're going out for 40th. Yeah. So
that sounds good. Well, congrats on that. 40 is like the new 20. So don't worry about it. It's funny because I remember when my dad turned 40, and that's just funny because you start to remember when your parents turned your age. Oh my gosh, I'm so old.
That's so funny. So just one last time, how can our listeners get involved with you and, you know, learn about more of your podcasts and all your good stuff?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the best way is if you're interested in the content that I put out, just check out our YouTube channel, the Brett Snodgrass channel. Our podcasts are on there too. We do a video podcast and you'll see Sean and Joni on that as well. That's the best way. Just comment on there. You can also email me at Brett, B-R-E-T-T, at simplewholesaling.com. And if you're interested in wholesaling, we have a lot of resources for people that are getting started in wholesaling, and you can check all that out on our website at simplewholesaling.com as well.
Awesome. Thank you. And we'll put this all in the show notes, but yeah, we really appreciate you being on the show and contributing. And I got a ton out of it. So
I did too.
Yeah. So it's more for us maybe than our listeners, but I hope, hope people got some value out of it.
They will, for sure.
So thank you again. And please share this, like it, and give us a review. Give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you all next week.
Thank you, Brett, for joining us.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.